Peter said it was tough following the stars. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, youth and parents, for all the practice that went into making this morning such a wonderful, wonderful experience. We certainly have had a lot of Christmas this morning. This being actually the first Sunday of Advent, I'd like to start with reading a passage that you probably have never connected with Christmas before. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to pick up at verse 22 of Romans chapter 8. Last week we looked at how we live between two great events in human history. Both are Advents, in a sense. Christ's birth and His coming return. The term Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, meaning coming. Advent in the church calendar is a season that celebrates the fulfillment of centuries of expectant waiting and preparation for the coming King Jesus, who came that first Christmas some 2,000 years ago that the Bible had promised throughout the Old Testament. For thousands of years, God's people had heard about the coming King through the prophets and promises of God, and they waited. And today, we should live with that same expectant waiting. We should live waiting for the expected second coming or return of the King Jesus. But have you ever considered that we're not alone in our waiting? Look here at verse 22 of Romans chapter 8. It says that we know that the whole creation has been groaning as it pains, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present moment. All of creation suffers under the effects of mankind's fall into sin back in the garden. The sin that entered into the world in that garden has changed and twisted everything. Nothing is as it should be or as it will be when Christ the King returns. There are wars and sex trafficking and abuse and addiction and injustice and more. However, all of God's people, from the time when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and were banished from it, have lived with one great hope, a hope that a Savior and King would one day come and restore God's kingdom here on earth, restore it to that perfect place that it was intended to be. Now, let me stop here for a second. When they lit the candle, it mentioned that this is the first Sunday of Advent, and typically the focus on that first Sunday is hope. So what are you hoping for? Not what are you wishing for, but what brings you hope? All too often, hope is defined like the little boy who said, hope is wishing for something that you know ain't going to happen anyhow. But there is more to hope than just wishing. There is that rock solid thing in your life that can give you hope for tomorrow. The dictionary defines hope as an emotional state of promotes the belief in a positive outcome related to events and circumstances of one life. That's a good dictionary definition. The world says, I hope. I hope this, I hope that. I hope for the latest Switchfoot Sweet CD. I hope for a Starbucks gift card for Christmas. Or maybe, as someone I know is hoping for Godiva chocolate, the big box. Or fuzzy socks or leg warmers. Not the off color, any color, but not off white. Sometimes you gotta get, ladies, it helps if you get specific with us guys. But you get the point. The hope that we're talking about is different than the world's sense of hope. The world's sense of hope is what keeps the lotteries going in America. Biblical hope is more than wishful thinking and wants. Biblical hope is defined as a, a, a certainty and a positive expectation of forward reward. Hope in the Bible means a strong and confident expectation. It is real and certain. Christ who came is going to come again. As I said last week, we live between these two Advents. And we live with a hope that is grounded in a Savior who came and who will come again. Just look on here, verse 23 of Romans chapter 8. Paul goes on to say, not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons and redemption of our bodies. We know in our hearts that this world isn't right. Every culture, we all understand that this is not the way things should be. But because of what Christ has done, we have hope. The original sin caused separation between man and God. Your sin, my sin, has sealed that separation between God and us personally. But Christ, the Son of God, came as one of us, lived a perfect, sinless life, and died on a cross in our place. He died so that we might live. He died so that we might be restored to a new and living relationship with God, a relationship that is described as being adopted into the family of God. For we hope, verse 24 says, for in this hope we were saved. In Christ Himself and the salvation He offers us is our hope. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what already has? But, verse 25, if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. If you have put your faith in Jesus and His death and resurrection, you are now a new creature in Christ. You have faith in what Christ has done, but you have hope in what He's going to do. You are already free from the power of sin over your life and can live a righteous life with purpose and with power of the Holy Spirit. But we still live in a fallen world, and we still see the effects of sin in our own lives and the world around us. Our hope today is that Christ will one day return and complete the good work that He has begun in us. One day, we will live in a new heaven and on a new earth where sin and suffering will once and for all be done away with. Our faith is in Christ and what He's done. Our hope is in Christ and what He's going to complete. Skip down to verse 28 of Romans chapter 8. Paul goes on to say, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. God knows us. God knows you. God chose you to become like Jesus. Verse 30 says, and He predestined, He called, those He predestined, He called, and those He called, He also justified, and those He justified, He also glorified. He has chosen us and called us to come to Him. He has given us right standing with Him and a promise of His glory. For us Christians, hope is not some pie in the sky, by and by wishful thinking. Our trust is defined as trustful expectation, particularly which refers to the fulfillment of God's promises. Hope is the anticipation of a favorable outcome under God's guidance. The confidence that with what God has done in the past guarantees our participation in what God will do in the future. And in a world that drains hope from our hearts with dark pessimism, biblical hope is a voice of one crying in the wilderness. A word of enthusiasm and in life in the midst of any difficult situation that we might find ourselves in. If you want to smile through the tears, if you want to rejoice through the tough times and suffering, keep reminding yourself that what you're going through isn't the end of the story. It's simply a rough spot in a journey that leads to the right destination. Hope is solid, stable, and sure. Hope to press on. Hope to endure the hardships of life. Hope to stay focused on Christ. Hope to see new dreams fulfilled, that there will be no more suffering and pain. In the Bible, the word hope describes the confidence that we Christians have in the Lord. Our hope is that we will one day be in heaven with the Lord. This Advent season, we look forward to the second coming of Christ with anticipation and hope, because we know the hope of salvation that has already come through the birth of Christ and through His death on the cross in our place, and through His resurrection and life, that we now have everlasting life. You know, when I think back to that first Advent, that first coming of Christ the King, I wonder what it was like for Mary and Joseph to anticipate the birth of Christ. What emotions flooded them as they longed to see the baby the angels had promised to them, to us. And what hope they must have filled their hearts. Did she even really understand that she would be giving birth to the King of Kings? Just as Mary and Joseph long for the birth of their baby, we long for the return of our King. Joseph and Mary were not hopeful like the hope I get an iPod for Christmas. They were filled with a radical sort of hope which is only known to those who have chosen to trust fully in God and are willing to live out drastically bold lives in the name of Christ. Hope is powerful. Hope is the longing for something good accompanied with the confidence and expectations that God will act. Hope is a deep and abiding sense of God's real presence. But we trust that all things will work together for good. Verse 28. We know that all things, that in all things, God works. It's an important in there. Not all things are good. We live in a fallen, broken world. But even in the bad situation, God is at work. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purposes. Romans 8:28 isn't just for the bad day. Oh, I smashed my car. Oh, well, you know, God's good. He'll be good, I guess. No, Paul is talking about a cosmic struggle. The whole universe groans and is in turmoil over the pains and suffering of the fallen world that we live in. The world is a mess. We, along with all creation, long for that day when Christ returns and He will restore things to the way they should be. And Paul says, in the meantime, don't sweat it. Don't despair. Have hope. Because in the midst of this messed up world, we see God at work. God in Christ is working to make all things in the end to be good for those who love Him. It is this promise of this hopeful future that keeps us going. Sometimes when we hope for something, we have to wait for it. Now, Dan and I aren't very good when it comes to Christmas. I don't think we've ever waited for Christmas Day to open our gifts for each other. But sometimes we have to wait. And sometimes it can feel like waiting on God, it can seem like forever. Because it seems like in my humanness, it feels like God loves the drama of waiting till that last moment. But God's timing is perfect. His plan is perfect. And He always comes through at the right time with His right plan. Even though sometimes we don't always understand it in the moment. But when we put our hope and trust in the Lord, He does answer and provide for our needs in His perfect timing. We pray because we believe God hears us and answers us. We come together to worship. We believe that God is with us, and because we need to hear from heaven and we need each other to be encouraged. We go to Bible study or Sunday school classes because we want to learn to trust God more and cling to His promises, where real hope is found. That's Paul's point here in Romans chapter 8. The world is in tough shape with wars and rumors of wars and a struggling economy and all kinds of personal battles that each of us face day in and day out. But in the midst of suffering and trials and the world's problems, we have hope. And a hope that is not seen is not hope. Our hope is what we cannot see. But if we hope for what we do see, we wait with expectation. Hope says that our present circumstances or inward struggles do not have the last word. Our lives are not stuck, nor is the world or the church. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the assurance, is the confidence of things hoped for. There is a connection between faith and hope. Then it goes on in Hebrews 11 to describe a whole bunch of people who did something because of faith and hope. They didn't just sit around waiting for God to act, wishing He might do something. They acted on their conviction that God will act. What do you long for this Advent season? For yourself, your family, or for the world? Know that God will act in His time, of course. If all the Advent promises were fulfilled in Christ Jesus, place your confidence and expectation in Him, and the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. I've been thinking how fitting it is that Christ came as a baby. Babies are the personification or a graphic representation of hope. Aren't they? When we have a newborn, all the hopes that well up for the future of that child. Babies represent future. They represent potential. They represent new beginnings. They are a symbol of hope. But they take time to grow. So hope requires patience, like a parenting requires patience. Our Savior did not come with a grand display of power and signs and wonders, but quietly and with humility. He entered right into our humanity and meets us in our deepest needs. Isaiah 40 says that those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. As the worship team comes up and prayers lead us in our closing song, again, I want to remind you that there is the lunch afterwards, and you're welcome to join us with that. Our hope is truly in Christ Jesus. Our faith is because of what He has done. Our hope is that we know that He's coming back. Father, we praise You. We thank You for Your grace, for Your Son, Jesus Christ, for He dying on the cross. Lord, we recognize that we have sinned against You and our sin separates us from You. And that when we put our faith in Christ Jesus and His death is the death that was taken for us, that we want to make Him the King of our lives, Lord, that we are done being on our own throne. We want to live for Him and for You from here on forward. In His name we can do that. Because through Him we have salvation. There is no other name under heaven by which man might be saved. So we call upon that name. and hope that He has come and will come again, and that You will complete the work in us for Your glory. We praise You and thank You. In Christ's name, amen.